The only labor I'm doing today is talking about Beverly Hills.
And don't take my kindness for weakness, because I'm just being fake anyway.
Wait, you guys, this is so special. Any chance that I get to record with someone in person is like, oh my God, there's a human being here. This is how AG used to be back in the day, pre-COVID. It's like a vibe. It's an energy. It's a little piece of heaven, I have to tell you, especially when this person is back on the people's couch. Except, just kidding, we're recording in the office. Listen, it's Andy's Girls episode 341, and I'm so excited to have back Bravoholic, former political commentator, which we were just talking about before the podcast started.
You know,
Raffy D'Angelo.
I feel like politics was draining me, and yes, Bravo was energizing me. So I needed to take a break from talking about the world and spend more time talking about fancy women eating meals together on television.
So how does that, understanding certainly how exhausting political commentary must be, like the cost, there is a cost there, especially to write about it and unpack it in the ways that you did, which was very personal, very nuanced.
Well, my goal when I started doing it was to sort of break it down for my community. So like all of my vernacular and the words that I used and the stories that I told were like, I am talking to millennial Black women and millennial queer people, just in my own Black voice. Like, we are on the corner talking, we're having a conversation about politics. And so I wanted to break down complex things and talk to my community and then give them action steps. It's like, okay, so this thing happened, like gerrymandering in North Carolina happened or whatever. This is what it means. So let me break it down for you. And this is what you can do about it. So that was what my goal was. And then, you know, with a little sprinkling of humor, like I used to do the debates and I would pick a TV show to only use gifs from that TV show to explain the debates. I'll send you some
like
of those.
I didn't read because, you know, I was a devout reader. When we got introduced, I was like, beep, 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 beep. Every time you posted something on Instagram, I zoomed, immediately devoured it.
My favorite one, I did one with only using like Real Housewives of New York gifs for one of the presidential debates.
Oh,
that one was good.
I still
have it saved. I used to use it on my like packet to apply for writing jobs.
That's so smart.
But yeah, so it just got draining, because in order to write comprehensively about things going on, like what I hated about especially commentary on social media was that it was in such like a little bubble. And a lot of people in cities like LA or New York or Chicago have these really big voices talking about politics, but they are not taking into account what people in South Carolina are thinking or going through. So you end up with like these little echo chambers of liberal bubbles where people are very loud in them. So I would read left, right, and center every day. So I would read from Breitbart all the way over to like Mother Jones every day, because I went to see what people were talking about in places outside of my echo chamber. And then after 2016, it just got harder and harder to read the right. And it got harder and harder to read like the left's responses to things that did not matter. And it was just draining on me more and more and more. And then I got to a point where I was no longer giving action steps, because I felt a little hopeless a lot of the time. And I felt like that was not good energy to put out. So I remember when the shooting in Las Vegas happened. This was a few years ago.
At the festival?
Yeah. I think it was a country music festival.
Yeah.
So the shooting happened, then the next day, people were in my inbox. It's like, oh, you didn't write about this, because that's something that I would have written about. And then I was sitting down, and I was going to write, because people were asking me to write, and I was like, you know what? I don't have anything to say, because there's nothing that I can say right now that will give people action steps that will actually change the culture that allowed this to happen, because guns aren't going anywhere. There are no laws that are going to be passed to take guns off the streets. We are not Australia. We are not the UK. We can't have a mass shooting and then the government says, okay, turn in your guns. Like, that will literally never happen.
It would have happened.
Exactly. It would have happened after Sandy Hook.
Ago.
I was like, 20 dead kids, 20 dead white kids, didn't matter. So like, these other shootings do not matter. Like, if we could get through that without any changes, then we can get through anything. And so I was writing it, and I didn't have an action step. And I was just feeling like there's nothing you can do about it. And I was like, that is not good energy to put out there. That is not responsible, because there are a lot of people who are doing great work and they're really passionate about it and they are working to change things. And I feel like they should. Like, yes, please keep working. I don't want my voice saying that, oh, it's so hopeless and nothing's going to change. I don't want that to affect anybody else's mental state and like discourage them from working. So I was like, you know what, let me not just put this bad energy out there. And I started like writing less and less and less until it was like, you know what, I just need to get a real job. Because, you know, I'd just been writing. All I did was my blog for like years and years. And I was like, you know, I need to get a job. I need to get a job with a paycheck and benefit so I can make enough money to insulate myself from the upcoming American fallout, because I am a Black queer person. Who will not be protected when America falls to pieces.
When we do our series finale.
Exactly.
Right now we're in sweeps.
And the only thing that can protect you is money. So I'm like, you know what? Let me go make some money. So now I work in finance. I work in finance and I'm making money. And that is pretty much the goal right now. I want to have a little cushion nest egg so I can escape, go somewhere else when everything falls apart. So now instead of working on the macro level where I'm like, oh, you changed this policy. I'm like, nope, my goal is to affect people one-on-one, make the lives better of the people around me, and make myself safer. So I still volunteer with my kids in the Bronx. I still do my music lessons and my tutoring and mentoring. Like, I still do that stuff. Like, I'm just one-on-one, who can I affect where I can like actually see it and make myself feel better, because I'm not out here trying to change the world on the internet anymore. I'm like, no, I'll just go back to my community and just help the people around me and let the people who still have the energy and the mental health to change the world, let them do it, because I'm tapped out. I'm tired. So that's where I am.
Well, I feel like it's the idea of, you know, when you're on a flight and they say, if you have, God forbid, a child with you, to put the mask, the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help someone else. And I feel like that's so applicable. The more that time goes on, the more that we deal with and have to face the idea that, like, at the end of the day, if you're not okay, then trying to make or trying to help other people be okay, if the foundation there is not solid, like, you have the right to say, like, I deserve to take care of myself first.
Yeah, I really wasn't doing well, especially like I was medicated because I had anxiety and I had depression. And so my I no longer had the oxygen mask on anymore. Like, when I first started writing, like, I was breathing great. I'm energized. And then slowly there's no more oxygen in the bag. I'm like, how can I get some oxygen in this bag? I need to step away from it and let other people deal with the world, and I will deal with myself. And so that is what I'm doing. But, you know, I didn't delete anything. My site is still up, but it's private. It's password protected. I'm not updating it.
Really? So people can't wait. So people can't see it right now?
Nope, because people engage so much.
Oh, and you can't. That takes a lot of
And I'm like, you know what? I don't want. And I always monitored my comment sections because racists were always in them. And so leaving it up without any monitoring would just, it would just go to hell, and it would become like an abusive playground for trolls. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to hide everything, hide my Facebook page, hide my blog. And then when I go back to it, if I go back to it, I'll probably write about something else. I'll probably just do things that make me happy, like recipes, new music, like just put good energy out there, because everything on the internet is always on fire. I'm like, maybe I can just make a nice, happy place on the internet and be one of those people that, like, when I was doing political commentary and I would see people post nice things, I was like, don't you see the world is falling apart? What are you doing? This is so irresponsible. I'm like, no, I'm about to be one of those people. That's
those
just,
people seem great.
Yeah, they're so happy.
I want to be those people.
And I envy those people being so happy. So I'm going to be happy and do things that make me happy, as long as I'm not hurting anyone else or myself and I still feel like a good person. That is what I will be doing. Maybe. And then, even though I work in finance, I work for like a really
nice finance.
I work in nice finance. I'm actually not going to say the name of the company.
Yeah, I saw you catching yourself.
Right. I was about to, but then I realized I was like,
nope. Let's not do it. Let's not do it.
Because I don't like to like
just
marry.
Just big F. Right. Just big F. They had a lot of cash.
I don't like to marry like my professional life with my artistic life.
I think that's
smart. I don't even like, they don't even know.
I don't do that with events. I never say.
They don't know who Rafi D'Angelo is at my job.
Oh, wait, you told me this. Yeah, can you tell me again?
So
I don't understand how this is legal. I'm extremely into it.
So Rafi D'Angelo is what I have always written as on the internet.
But that's not your name.
It is. It's my first and middle name.
Oh, it's not your last name.
Yes, so it's not my last name. So my last name is nowhere to be found on the internet at all. And Rafi.
It's the smartest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
And I've been writing under Rafi D'Angelo since 2002. So there's no, I've never written a single thing with my first and last name.
2002 is a smart year for you, my friend. To think
never
of that 20 years ago.
Written a well, that's just
we were four.
But that's just my name. Like that's what I've always been called.
Yeah.
Because I just thought it sounded nice, and I didn't have any connection to my last name because I had such a bad experience with my parents coming out. So I just stopped using it. I stopped using my last name and just started using my middle name as like my common name. And if you use a name for long enough, it becomes like your name. Like that is just your name, and it's fine. Like even on like my Cash App card and my Venmo, like they say Rafi D'Angelo. They do not say my legal name because I have all this stuff under my common name that I can prove like, oh, this is my identity. Look, this is my picture.
Wait,
and
do you have a checking account under Rafi D'Angelo?
No, I can't figure out how to do it.
I feel like that might be illegal.
Can't figure out how to do it.
Okay, but the Venmo is so, because it's your, you mean your handle.
No,
is,
like, do you want to see my.
Yeah, show me your money.
Let me see if I have a
can
cash
app. Can I have money while you're there?
I don't know if I keep it in here anymore. Do I still keep it in here?
Oh my God. Ooh, a little credit card popped up. I'll take that.
So not that. I don't have it in there, but I'll show you my Cash App account.
Great. And then we should do a test. You should give me $100 and see what happens.
I should give you $100. <I'm just kidding. laughs>
I love that we're doing this on the episode. Guys, this is so interesting for all of you. I'm looking
but anyway,
at Rafi.
Like back to the story while I pull this up.
Because I absolutely believe you. You don't need to show me proof, but I'm like extremely here for
it. Look, full name.
Full name.
Yeah.
And your cash tag.
Yeah.
Wow. Into it.
So anyway, when I applied for jobs, I would use my legal first and last name, right? So that was fine. There was no mix-up holdover. And then I was working a job and I was using Rafi at work. And so it was Rafi plus my last name. And I was like, ooh, I don't really like this now that they have merged because I don't want anybody to like search Rafi on the internet and like sort of find me. And then whenever I would say Rafi on the phone, the person answering would be like, oh, Robbie. And I was like, oh, Robbie, maybe I'll start calling myself Robbie at work because it's easier and it's not my legal first name. So even if somebody does know my legal first name, like they won't be able to search it because I'm using Robbie, which nobody ever calls me in life. So with the newest job that I got, I had sent in a resume with my regular name. It was just my first and last name. But it was very much like, oh, a black man sent in this resume, right? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take Robbie and give it a gender neutral spelling with an I at the end. So maybe they'll think like a white woman is applying for this job instead. And I got like 10 times the responses. So that's who I am at work.
You're Robbie.
I'm Robbie. R-O-B-I.
R-O-B-B-I. R-O-B-B-I.
Because it looks like a lady. And I was applying for like customer facing jobs. Like when I got this job at this finance company, I started in a customer facing role. And now I work in the back end. Now I do like innovation and research. But I started, I went in entry level as like a customer representative. And they would be more likely to hire a white woman than a black man. So they hired me.
And your name there is Rafi B-I.
Yep. And so they don't know. The only people who know my name are the two ladies who work in HR, and they can't tell anybody. So worked out great.
So, and you never have to deal with someone sending you, because there's always that awkwardness when you like work with someone and they send you a social media request. That never happens with you. Does anybody
ever
say,
they can't find me.
Is anyone ever like, wow, you're not on Instagram. I was going to follow you. That has never happened.
Well, sometimes they ask. I was like, oh, what's your Instagram? I was like, oh, I don't use it. And it's fine.
Because they can't find you.
Yeah, because, and like a lot of people who work in finance don't anyway.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people just aren't on, especially, like, straight white men, a lot of them aren't on social media at all.
But they're all on Hinge.
Yeah. Have you seen them?
I have. We don't usually match. I don't think I'm usually their type. I can't say that they're not mine. I know that they're not, but I can't really say it. Nope. I get the goofballs.
Oh, well.
Oh, my God.
So, that's my story. Now I'm just hanging out. Working in my job.
Making cash. Making things happen.
Making things happen. Being out of debt. Finally get to live alone for the first time in my life because I can afford it now. I would have never been able to afford it writing. So.
So where does Housewives feature into, what is that outlet that Housewives is giving to you?
Well, I still use it. For the same reason, it's because I grew up on soap operas. Yeah. So, and I missed that spot where I get a nice serial continuation of the same women year after year after year. Like, I love when they know each other and we get the same ones. Because, you know, when you're on Twitter and stuff like that, everybody's like, oh, she's boring. She needs to be fired and all that kind of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, that's what I want because she is integrated into this cast. I don't want you to bring some random person who has no connection to the cast just to come on and fight. Like, I, even though like Cynthia wasn't bringing a lot, I miss Cynthia on Atlanta. Mm. It is this missing piece of connectivity that we only have through Candy now. And Candy just doesn't care. So I miss stuff like that. When they change it up too much, it's like, I think that's probably why Potomac is my favorite cast, because they've kept the same four Sisterhood of the Traveling Vanessa Williamses for seven seasons in a row now. That is crazy.
And it has worked since the first season.
Yep.
It never doesn't work.
And you know, the same trolls on Twitter are like, oh, fire Robin, she doesn't bring anything. Fire Giselle, she doesn't bring anything.
She's
like,
got those hats.
Yeah, I'm like, what? And the bad fashion.
Yes.
Like, what do you want out of the show? Do you just want somebody to come on? You want Monique and Candace every season? I didn't like that. I like them sitting around sniping at each other, throwing light shade, you know, having man problems. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't need the dramatics. I want to see people who know each other living their lives, which is what Housewives was in the beginning. But now, you know, we're so many years removed from the beginning of what Housewives was. Mm-hmm. And now everybody just wants dramatics. Like, you know, they just want people fighting, screaming and all that stuff. And I'm just like, that is not calming to me.
Well, I can't think of anything less calming than this week in Housewives content, but it does make me wonder your thoughts about the Atlanta finale, noting from a continuity perspective. I mean, we had Apollo, we had season one.
Well,
OG,
I did not need Apollo.
Married
at all.
To Med Ladies, we had some doctors in the house. Quad was. Well, popped up on screen for
the
a
best
second.
Thing about Atlanta is that Atlanta is so small and rich black Atlanta is so small that they all show up in all of each other's shows.
And I love them for it.
Dr. Jackie has been on more shows than any single person in the history of reality TV. She shows up on everybody's show because every rich uterus in Atlanta goes to Dr. Jackie.
Why not Dr. Simone?
Simone has they the slightly less than rich. You know, like, Jackie has the rich ones.
Jackie has like literal black Hollywood right. Is in her office every day.
But
every
how often
day.
Do you see Simone working? They never show clips of Simone in the office.
She's a
they
writer.
Show they
now
show
she's an
clips
author.
Of Simone in Jackie's office. They do not show clips of Simone in her office.
Love of my life, Dr. Simone.
I love Dr. Simone.
She's in
she's
my
so
top
great.
Five housewives. She's not a housewife. I do not care. She's in my top five.
I would agree with that. Simone would also be in my top five housewives. I would agree. I love my single favorite reality TV show moment. Well, second favorite. My second favorite reality TV show moment of all time was that reunion
yes.
where they got back together. It was the
Simone
realest
and
thing. And you can
the realest shit, as right, Andy said.
And you can only get that because some of them have known each other for 20 years.
Jackie.
Right. So
even Heavenly crying.
Yeah. Everybody like banded around them like it takes a village and like this community is supporting this marriage. And I was like, yes, this is great TV. So that is top tier. Number two spot.
What was your number one?
My number one spot is from Real World New Orleans, where Melissa was giving her confessional because everybody was sleeping in each other's beds and they kept trying to climb into her bed. And at the end, she's like, I got a Mormon on the left and a naked gay man on the right. Everybody else in the house is having sex. It was just the best confessional ever. So that was my number one. And my number three was when Nadia won Great British Bake Off and made Mary Berry cry.
Spoiler alert. Why did Mary Berry cry? I have only seen one season.
Okay, so that's the best one. It's like season.
Why did Mary Berry cry?
Because she was touched too. Like everybody fell in love with this tiny little brown Muslim woman in her hijab who had never even taken the subway by herself pushed to audition her husband. And they were in arranged marriage.
Oh, my God.
So everything about that was just so beautiful because, like, you have this, you know, traditional Muslim couple, arranged marriage, and this really talented woman. And the man is like, go, nurture your talent. You can do this. And so she did. She doubted herself every week.
What's her name? Nadia?
Nadia.
Okay,
Nadia
Hussein. I need to watch that season.
And she doubted herself every week. And then when she won, everybody felt it. And so that's the only time Mary Berry ever showed any emotion. I tear up every time I see it.
What about Paul Hollywood?
Oh, I don't remember what was he like, doing.
Not even.
he was around. He was there.
Whatever. Fuck him.
But yeah, that was great. Highly suggest you go and watch that season.
I will. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
It's good for the soul.
I know. I think that's the problem is that like it was so
touching.
That you
have no soul?
Probably. Okay. No, it was that it was so touching that I was like, this is too, I can't be emotional. Like I need to disassociate in some way with times in my life in reality TV. There's a time and a place to like feel happy. And I was like, this is not the time for me. So I watched at least one season of it. And then I was like, no more.
Is anything making you happy in Housewives universe? Everything is so
it's
dark.
Very dark. It's a struggle to communicate. And I've been writing about some of the very dark.
I've seen it.
And that makes it more of a struggle because then it feels like, and then when I Instagram story, when I'm watching Housewives, that makes it more of a struggle because in real time, not literally when episodes air, because I fucking wait until as late as possible to watch episodes, but I'm watching BH, I'm losing my mind about a scene, I communicate that on Instagram, and then I sort of vent it out and then get into a state of needing to protect my soul. So I might not note the things that upset me on the pod because I've communicated on social or I've written about it and then I'm like done. But then people associate me with the darkness. So then I get a lot of darkness. People reaching out with like updates of dark things.
Yeah. Because once you become
that's
that person.
That's my brand now. And I thought my brand was just like having a fucking mouth.
That was my brand politically. So then this anytime something bad happened, people were in my DMs like, oh, did you see this story in North Carolina that blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, I seen it now. I guess I have to comment.
I mean that, but that becomes, it becomes a little difficult because the point of talking about Housewives wasn't to only remain in a place of darkness, but if that is all that they are giving to us, or if that's all that a lot of us are focusing on, but we're being told this is light, then I don't know how to process that. And I think that's been a difficulty.
Even the production of Beverly Hills is serious. Like when you contrast how the earlier seasons were shot and, you know, done with these, it's like you're trying to make prestige reality TV a thing. That's what it feels like. I was like, it feels very heavy handed the way the show is put together now. And I was like, I need a lighter touch to come in here and be less heavy all the time. Because even the fights, the way you edit a fight, it can be a good fight. And it can be less serious. Like give it a different music. Give it a different tone. Like, cut it differently. Shoot it differently. Because I just feel like they keep having these really dark fights on that show. I mean, it's kind of a casting problem, too. like you've cast people who just want to bully one person. It's like, we're going to pick someone and we're just going to bully them and not hear any sense other than that. And that's never fun.
How much of that is casting versus orientation, though?
What do you mean versus orientation?
Like, they look at Diana. She's got $1 billion. Not literal, but like bajillion. Right, yeah. And she's coming on the show and she might have, you know, some sort of society-esque friendship or association with someone, which leads the way into the circle. But it does feel like, and I don't mean honestly even to isolate Diana, except she seems the most obvious and potentially egregious example of like, okay, well, you're making friends with Rinna and Erica. They're both going to orient you.
Yes.
Orient.
I don't know. What word do you want to use?
Let's go with that one, brain. They're both going to counsel you on their perspective of who these people are. So like,
right.
How much of that is the casting process versus how much of that is the onboarding, I would say.
Well, also, I think...
Orient. What is the word?
I think that... So I'm of two minds here when they go casting.
Mm.
Because on the one hand, I like an eccentric, rich person who doesn't know what's going on.
Love that. That can be so fun.
Love that.
Love a quirk bajillionaire.
Love that. But then you get the Diana effect where like this person who is coming in blind, who clearly does not watch the show, has come in and been inducted into like the group of like the most powerful personalities or like the longest tenured people are trying to... Like, oh, you need to be on our side. Like, we're the good side.
And this is also how you do it.
Right.
By calling people cunts, exactly. By laughing at people, by showing no mercy. That is the housewives.
So on the one side, there's that. But then on the other side, I like when fans get cast because I like Jennifer and Jackie on New Jersey.
Mm.
They had watched the show. They already knew who they liked and didn't like. Like, they knew who they were going to be in front of the cameras. Diana had no idea who she was going to be in front of the cameras, so she was taught who to be in front of the cameras. When you have people who watch the show come on the show, they already know who they're going to be. Like, they're like, oh, if I was in that scene, I would have XYZ. You know, so there's a double-edged sword because, like, you know, you get people, if they're fans, they might overproduce themselves and not be authentic or whatever. But on the other side, if you get somebody who has never seen the show and they have a weak personality, then they're just going to be railroaded into, you know, the club of who is popular or been there the longest because they don't want to cross anybody. They don't want to step on any toes, like that kind of thing. Like, somebody who has never watched a show is not going to get on there and fight with the person who's been on there since the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who has watched the show and does not like Teresa, like Jackie, has no problem fighting with Teresa. It's like, this is fine. Like, this makes good TV as well. Like, she's a fan and she knows how it works. So
how does that, I mean, you could even draw that parallel to coming after Caroline Stanberry on Dubai, like the Lisa effect,
effect. I want to see that fully conversed in the next episode about them trying to get her off the show. Like,
the next episode or the next season?
No, the next episode.
Because
in the
reunion,
yeah, they're talking about how they were like going to gang up against Caroline and get her off the show,
right,
kind of thing. I want to see that fully come out. I think that's a great conversation. And like, Lisa's not a stranger to reality TV. She was on College Hill, Miami. She's done this before as well. People don't remember that, but Black people remember that she was on College Hill, Miami, and she used to get made fun of by that cast because she was like bougie and like pretending to be like, you know, all like hoity-toity, and now she is rich in Dubai, so who really won? But
And how did she do on the show? Obviously not necessarily well.
I mean, it was just,
people
it was
were
just
like fucking with her, or
the cast didn't...
How did she perform? Did she perform?
She was just herself. She was okay. Like, I am hoity-toity.
Mm.
Like, all right, well, then go with that. And now she can back it up. So good for her.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I feel like Dubai was cast really well.
Really?
I think it was cast well because you have people who are genuinely friends with each other.
Okay.
And you have people who are frenemies, which makes for a great show, like a little Giselle Karen moment where you can be friends one moment and hate each other the next. That whole Ayan and Caroline Brooks where they fight and make up in the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because, you know, they clearly like each other and respect each other and they get on each other's fucking nerves.
Wait, are you telling me you're enjoying Dubai?
I sure am.
I love that for you.
I think I thought it was nice and light. And even like the heavy parts were super heavy.
I mean, Chanel and her childhood, right, and her relationship with her father and everything.
But
with her
extremely
sister.
Important. Like, extremely, you know what? Important. Let's talk about it. Like, that is a thing that happened. And, you know, even like Sarah talking about her two marriages and like, you know, how they weren't accepted, like, you know, like divorcing is a big struggle and all of that. I'm like, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's get these different perspectives because Dubai is a melting pot. So let's get people from all over the place. Like, I think it is a good first season of Housewives. And I'm looking forward to the second season. I want to see what they're going to do next. And I want Chanel on everybody's cast. Like, I just want her to show up. I hope she has New Jersey cameos because after she went to Teresa's wedding, she didn't leave New Jersey for like 2 weeks.
Right? I think she stayed and like hung out.
She did. She was in pictures with everybody. I'm like, yes, put Chanel on everybody's cast for about 2 weeks just to be Chanel.
I also have to say she apologized in some, not like apology, but was like, and I didn't have a big outfit because I wasn't planning to attend. Like the invitation came last minute from like Bravo PR, right, whomever sent it. But I thought she looked chic AF. Like she had like a little Chanel or whatever it was, like a YSL bag that was like a little crossbody. There was like a black tuxedo jacket moment, I want to say, like an extra long. I thought she looked spectacular.
She always looks fabulous.
She always looks like she's going to the Oscars. So for, which to is see great. Her, which is great, but to see her in her eyes or in the eyes that she expects us to have based on how she has dressed so far on Dubai in that kind of look was fabulous. I thought she looked phenomenal.
I think
I was extremely into it.
She is one of the best casting choices that Housewives has ever made because she is just the right amount of like delusional and like defensive without being unlikable, because she is super defensive and she gets annoying when she gets on that hamster wheel in her head, right, where she believes somebody said something bad about her. You know where it comes from. It comes from like abandonment issues and like all her childhood trauma, but like she'll get on the hamster wheel and can't get off. But I'm like, she can't be a perfect housewife. Like she, like that would be a boring cat. Like she needs things that people don't like about her, so she will have conflicts and drama. If there was nothing that people didn't like about her, she would just be in fabulous outfits talking about how great she is all the time. That's not fun.
So how do you think she'll do on a second season?
I don't know, because she's going to watch herself
this
back.
It's going to be time. Now she's got a lot of fans now. She's got a lot of people telling her how great she is.
So she will either ramp it up or stay the course.
Yeah, ramping it up would be tough.
Would be terrible.
That would be tough.
Because she is at the limit. You can't go any further into how great you are and how delusional you are. You cannot go any further than that. You are at the limit of where you need to be. So...
And then, conversely, you have Caroline Stanberry, where it's like,
I don't need,
wake up,
I don't
room
need
service.
Her at all.
Like, it's time to start filming. Like,
I don't need her, and I don't need Miss French Fries Fruitcake Company. I can't remember her name.
Which
Nina.
I can't get over the French fry thing, because you know she thought it was a moment. And I was like, you know better than this. This is not funny. It's not entertaining. They're fries. You can get them when you get home.
Right.
Like,
and she's like, even at the reunion, she ordered fries and mac and cheese. I'm like, okay, Ricketts, like, eat a vegetable. This is awful. So,
yeah, French fries are not a personality.
No. Well, she tried to make
the word. Even when you add truffle, it's just not giving what you think it is.
So I don't really need her, but
Caroline,
you know,
or Nina?
I don't need either one of them.
Okay, great.
I don't need either one of them. I don't think either one of them, like, Caroline did bring something to the show. I just don't like her.
Okay.
So.
Did you like her on Ladies of London?
I didn't watch Ladies of London. Okay. Did you watch Ladies of London?
Yeah, I've seen it multiple times.
Oh, wow. Is that good?
Yeah, but she was always, it was a conversation I had, as a conversation I've had on AG multiple times, which is the idea that like everybody wanted, and I talked to Caroline about this when she came on AG, everybody, well prior to Dubai, everybody wanted Caroline to join Housewives because she felt like such a housewife.
Oh.
But the thing that people either forgot or neglected to remind themselves was that she was never the protagonist. She was always the antagonist on Ladies of London, and with the cast at least. And I think in some ways for good reason. So when she joined Dubai, I think people thought she was going to be like Bethany Breakout before Bethany got famous, of like sort of the America's Sweetheart vibe. And that has never been Caroline.
She's always been the pill
fighting. She's always
been
a little brittle.
Right.
And it's like a part of that British upper crust. And And what's interesting in watching her on Dubai is I do see her putting in some emotional labor and trying to de-escalate, which I appreciate. Like, mm-hmm. I see her doing things in a way that make me think that, like, she's grown. She's definitely a mature woman in every great sense of the word, in how she has matured in her responses to things, which I think is great. But I just don't know how great it is when it seems like she doesn't necessarily want to film with these people. That is a hindrance.
That is kind of like, if you don't want to do your job, then it comes across that you don't want to do your job. So I don't really need her. When I was going into Dubai, I thought she was like the central cast member, mm-hmm. and they were building the cast around her. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I thought.
I mean, that's what everybody thought.
Yeah. So I'm glad that, you know, other people have broken out to shine instead, because I don't really need much of her or her mm-hmm. dumb husband who doesn't know how the female reproductive system works in any way whatsoever.
What was that? I know it was played for a joke, but like the idea that he thought you could take a baby.
Disgusting.
Out and just put it in somebody else halfway through is actually concerning.
It is asinine, and it's ridiculous how little
he understands
men in general. It is ridiculous how little men in general know about any of that.
Found a way to give a lady a good right. time. So.
It is ridiculous. Like, I saw this tweet the other day, like from this female engineer talking about, like, her coworker was asking how women pee with a tampon in. Right, exactly. I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous that there is a whole medical specialty devoted to it and you can't give me the basics. Like, it is really concerning, but, you know, I think he's indicative of most men. Like, they don't have any idea what's going on. And if you start talking about it, it's like, I don't want to hear that. That's gross. So
I am excited to hear her talk more about where the money is coming from, because they're on, I have seen multiple 45-star honeymoon trips take place. Like, every time they go on vacation, I'm like, I will never be able to afford the plane to the place that they're going to, let alone the actual experience, which I'm obsessed with. I love talking about, like, following mm-hmm. influencer journeys and people who are living their best lives. There's nothing I find more engaging than trying to understand the mechanics and financial responsibilities or lack thereof behind some of this. I love it.
She's probably, like, you know, going and then posting about it so she doesn't have to pay for the accommodations.
I mean, that's what I want them to get into more of it. I want to understand more of it, because it just, everything is so fabulous. Yeah. And this is the whole Luann, it's the Luann Accord. If I had whatever settlement that I had and I knew that that would go away from whomever I was married to before, if I remarried, I wouldn't get married again.
Oh, absolutely not.
Luann doing that to marry Tom when she had the count cash coming in, couldn't be me.
Nope.
So for Caroline to divorce her financier husband, who did very well.
Did she have the same deal? Like, the money's cut off when you get married?
I think that's just a legal thing.
Well, I didn't know if she was getting a bunch of money. Was she getting a bunch of money?
I mean, I think you do get spousal support, and that spousal support is no longer, that spousal support, not like the children stuff, but like spousal support goes away.
Yeah, it goes away when you get married, but if you were getting it, like, I don't know, like, was she getting spousal support?
I assume so, but I also have absolutely no idea.
Caroline Brooks wasn't getting spousal support.
Yeah, some of that stuff. I mean, and when Portia got divorced, she was like, I don't want a penny.
Yeah, so some
couldn't
people.
Couldn't be me.
Some people leave and like, all right, I'm not going to take any of this money. So
and
I don't really
sometimes
know.
It works out and sometimes it doesn't. I mm-hmm. mean, Caroline Brooks's marriage, the way that that was communicated on the reunion was more specific than it was during the season.
Right. I didn't realize that it was that it was so abusive. I thought it was just kind of like an annoying marriage where he like yells at you or isn't around. I didn't realize that she was being like physically abused and stuff like that. I didn't realize it was so violent.
Oh, the way that she was talking about it during the season, when she was very delicate in how she was communicating what happened, all of my alerts went off where I was like, this is
serious.
This is very serious. Mm-hmm. And there's a level of volatility, but this way exceeds that. And the way that she communicated him even expressing remorse, like the idea behind that of like, you would think surely this person is remorseful for being abusive during, but that isn't the case. Yeah, like
if you were an abuser, then unless something in you has changed, then why would you be remorseful for something you had no problem doing?
Right.
So I think that maybe because he agreed to come on the show and have that conversation.
Right.
I wonder if there was further conversation where she felt like she was allowed to say what she said at the reunion.
Right.
Because, you know, she was tiptoeing around it and you caught onto it. I didn't. But he came onto the show and apologized. So I wonder if there was like even more conversation after that. And so she felt comfortable saying it at the reunion.
I mean, she went into more detail in the reunion of like her mom paying for a plane ticket to fly her out of, I want to say Serbia. But during the season, she talked about the ways that her mom was aware of what was going on and stuff, where I was like, oh, something really bad happened. And it made me nervous for her. And it also made me curious if she would share more, understanding that she has every right not to. Mm-hmm. But there was a door being opened here to saying without saying something very, very intense and serious took place. And their healing separately together that has brought them to the place of being able to co-parent in the way that they are and like work together
and film together, and it's good.
It's impressive.
It is. It's very impressive. So great season, huh? Look at all these props that you just gave Dubai.
I think I've talked about Dubai the whole season.
Why don't the people don't like it?
People don't care.
I think it is a bright spot in the darkness.
But the problem is that darkness is so overwhelming. And when you have so much darkness where you're like, this is taking up all the oxygen in the room, and maybe it was produced in order to do that, it's tough to be like, but Dubai is nice because we have a shitstorm. It's like even Atlanta has barely been discussed on AG for a while, because even two episodes a week, because Beverly Hills is like, and now you're laughing and calling her a cunt, and now you're like telling her that she's a piece of shit for hiding miscarriages like it's a fucking receipt from Bergdorf. Like, I don't even understand it's like, how do you not talk about that?
I mean, you're watching terrible women be terrible to each other, so sometimes I want to watch nicer women be nicer to each other. I don't see a problem with compartmentalizing. It was like, okay, so Beverly Hills is on its shitty little island the same way the OC was on its shitty little island with Kelly Dodd. That didn't mean that I wasn't enjoying my other shows. It was like I was still able to enjoy the other shows.
Maybe I'm not as great at compartmentalizing because I feel such anger about...
Well, you're also deeper into it now than you were back then, because back then you weren't necessarily writing long form about the bad things. Like, now you're fully enmeshed in the bad place.
Yeah.
And so everything revolves around the bad place. I'm like, no, like, there have always been times where something terrible was happening on Housewives.
Okay.
But the deeper you go into it and focus on it, then it becomes the entire conversation. Because, yeah, we're talking about very serious issues and these women being very terrible to each other, but I don't necessarily think that these women ganging up on Sutton to bully her is necessarily worse than Michael Darby repeatedly committing sexual assaults, and we were still able to enjoy Potomac. So
that's gonna take me a second. I never thought of comparing the two.
Well, I don't want to like make a comparison. I'm just saying like terrible things are always happening in the other cities. But the more
we have a way to compartmentalize
until you get once you start digging into it, you get stuck.
The only person at that point who was defending Michael was Michael and Ashley. And Ashley. I don't entirely need to have a conversation with her cyber about that. But like, but with Beverly Hills, it's the idea that the other women in the nobody in the cast was like, Michael seems like a great guy. It's the other women in the cast during the show and during the after show, which I just watched before you arrived and was like, ooh, I wish that hadn't been a choice that I made. But like where the other women in the cast are, Dorit is saying, oh my God, it was so hard for Diana. And I know it looks like she was a bad person, but she was actually the greatest, most graceful person calling her a cunt. And Erica's there beaming. It's the best moment and best after show of her fucking life. you know, that makes it tough. There's a difference to me between everyone recognizing someone's poor behavior, including probably their wife and probably mm-hmm. that person, versus the plot of an entire season and maybe the structure and spirit of a cast itself being based on the idea that there is a majority rule supporting Diana gaslighting
and there's a majority
else.
Rule because once you get like a couple of people, a couple of
that's
like
all you
leaders,
need. That's all you
and
need
then everybody will just fall in line behind them because these are all like weak personalities. Like they'll just fall in line whether they agree or not because, you know, like Garcelle is the only one who's going to sit and talk and, you know, stand on her own two feet. Mm. Like that doesn't mean necessarily that I think that Crystal is a terrible person. She just does not have a personality that's strong enough to stand up and talk beside Garcelle. So she gets to
maybe she doesn't agree, though.
I think she probably agrees.
She looked horrified in the scene, but on the after show, she was like, well, just to give another perspective, Sutton like kind of sucks. And I was like, this isn't what we need right now. This isn't what we need.
Well, to be fair, Sutton does suck. I do not like Sutton at all. And that's why I'm annoyed with Beverly Hills.
And
because
we're
Beverly
at
Hills,
time.
Beverly Hills is making me defend somebody I do not like. And like, I don't want to be on Sutton's side because I do not like this woman. And I have never liked this woman. She reminds me of so many Charleston women that I grew up with going to boarding school and their moms coming to pick them up. Like, that's who Sutton was. Like, I went to boarding school in South Carolina and there were, like, Sutton was the moms that would come and pick their kids up on the weekends. It's so many flashbacks whenever I hear her talk and whenever I hear her talk about, oh, my friends my kids had friends of all colors. I'm like, yeah, I've heard all of this growing up. So I will never like that woman ever. But, you know, right is right. And you don't sit around and bully somebody like, you know, so I don't like the bullying. And I don't. So that's my biggest problem is that these terrible women are making me defend the person on the cast that I don't like. Don't do that to me. Help me defend somebody else.
Incredibly unfair question, noting that. But like, if you had to say who you dislike the most on the cast,
Erica.
Okay.
You don't even have to finish.
Okay. Great.
Erica is one of my like bottom three housewives of all time.
Tell me everything.
Like she is the so Teresa will always be my least favorite.
Okay.
I don't think
safe space.
I don't think anybody will ever take Teresa's crown for me. Never liked her.
Well, it would be hard to because it's in all that hair.
Right. I liked season one Teresa.
Okay.
Because she was only stupid.
Bubbies.
Yes. But then she became stupid and malicious, and I don't like that. Like, okay. If you're going to be stupid, be nice. If you're going to be malicious, be smart so you can give a good argument. That's what makes malicious people fun to watch is when they're smart enough to
look nice.
Or to make a convincing argument and have like a discussion that makes sense. Teresa's too stupid to be entertaining when she's fighting. I'm like, well, stop fighting and just be stupid. But she can't do it. So Teresa will always be at the bottom. Is
I'm
Ramona
so glad you're here right now? This is everything I've ever needed in my entire life.
Is Ramona
life.
My other one? I can't remember. I sort of block out the bad people. So I think Ramona's definitely down there.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options. and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon. And where does Erica factor into this?
I gave her like the third worst. That's where I gave her.
And so can you extrapolate on that?
So Erica, I actually really enjoyed Erica coming onto the show.
I mean, who didn't?
It was such a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely.
Breath of fresh air. But Erica is such a narcissist that she can't see outside of herself. So any other person, I feel like, in that situation where your husband did something, I'm giving her like so much grace.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm giving her all the grace that she is.
Grace and allowance.
Yes. So I'm like, if you're in this position where your husband has done all these terrible things and has taken all of this money, then you, unless you are a crappy person, you do not fight the lawyers trying to get the money back. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So like, if I am sitting on millions of dollars that were given to me by my husband because he stole them from people who really needed it, I'm not going to court to keep the money. That is ridiculous to me. Like, you are fighting to hold on to this money that came from people who needed it. That is ridiculous.
Who also owned it.
Right. And then she, you know, is so defensive about it and so angry that anybody would have a different point of view on something that's very commonplace to anybody with a heart. Anybody who is compassionate in any way would be able to sit and have a conversation, a calm conversation, and she can't. She's just yelling, screaming, being vindictive. Even her like tagline, the way she delivers it, is just like the most unlikable delivery of a tagline, I think, in Housewives history. I have nothing to hide and nothing to lose. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, is this Hamlet? What are you trying to do? She's like eating the words. I'm just like, ugh. She just makes my skin crawl.
And the scene, the spoiler, the teaser, whatever right. you want to say for this week's episode is like...
It's very that. It's like you are being upset that people are thinking about the victims of your husband instead of thinking about you.
And the reaction from Kyle and Rinna specifically in the moment is like, it's so shocking for them that they actually might...
Broke character for a moment.
They did for a second, but it's not, you're wrong. It's don't do this because right. then I can't defend you exactly. as a friend. Don't do this because it makes me look bad because I'm mm-hmm. so closely aligned with you. It's not... This is wrong. This is the wrong way to think. It's don't like,
this
think
is
it
making
out loud.
A bad show for us. Like, that's what it is. It's not you're being a bad person. Is that you're making a bad show right now because now we can't be on your team. Like, boo. So Erica's terrible. Erica has sent us down this road of destruction and despair. Without Erica going through all of this, everybody wouldn't be bullying Sutton right now because they would have had no reason to turn against her. Like, the reason that they can all gang up against Sutton is because she was the only one really giving it to Erica. And since they all have to be up under Erica's butt, that gives them, you know, the start of being able to bully Sutton. I don't think Sutton would be in this position where everybody hates her if not for Erica.
If it wasn't Sutton because of this, I think it would have been Sutton for something else or Garcelle.
But I think
they other someone who's not in the Fox Force majority. They just do. It's a numbers game.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe you have a way out if you have not gone up against one of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you have decided to take the most sensitive issue on the show and take a position that is contrary to the rest of the cast. So I'm like, this is the storyline. Like, Erica is the storyline of the show, and you are not towing the line of the storyline of the show, so we're going to bully you. I don't think that she would be facing it to this level if Erica hadn't been the person or, like, you know, to be the center of the storyline.
And where does Rinna factor into that for you?
I don't know. She's in the garbage somewhere doing something. I don't know. Like, Rinna has shown who she was since the first season with Yolanda. Like, like Yolanda called her out from the very beginning. It's like, you're inauthentic and I can't trust you. Like, that's who she's always been. That's who she will continue. But now it's like she has become defensive because the public is no longer on her side. I feel like Rinna got away with a lot because she had a lot of people who liked that she stirred the pot. Mm-hmm. Because, like, oh, you're keeping it going. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to hang out with you. I'm not going to tell you any secrets, da da da. But you're keeping the show going. You're entertaining to watch. But now she has, you know, fallen into La La Land, like, oh, this is all happening because Vanderpump. I'm like, what kind of delusion is that? Like, nobody can support you now. Like, I'm gonna take a page out of Kyle's book. Rinna, I can't defend you. Like, you're making a bad show.
I mean, how can the show defend her?
I don't know what's gonna happen with the casting next, but she'll be there. I don't think she's going anywhere.
That's what Bryce Sanders said on the last AG.
I don't think she's
going
anywhere.
He said it's hers to quit, and she's never going to, and this is me adding, she's never going to leave.
No. Yeah, she has no reason to leave. She's having a great time, and yeah, she'll be there.
But if you're the show, and she's gone on social media accusing her show's producer of somehow being behind a targeted bot attack against Garcelle's son, how do you continue... What's that conversation like?
I cast the producer. I cast the producer as a friend, put them in front of the camera, because now we've gotten to the point where we just break the fourth wall all the time.
Can you imagine
make production
the producer?
Part of the story. Just do it. Make production part of the story, because if Rinna wants to make production part of the story, then let's make production part of the story. Like, I have no problem with that. I mean, Todd is married to Candy. They've been married for years and years and years, and he has brought in the production on the reunion, talking about how Marlo and her bags and being thirsty, like, that has now become part of the story.
Right.
Because we've been on long enough to where some of the producers are part of the story. And, you know, it's not unprecedented for a producer to be a storyline. Let's go back to Real World Seattle, David in the car, Kira, I love you. Like,
I'm already coughing because I have something in my throat, but that's going to take me out.
No, I'm just like, production has always been.
I have never been so attracted to a man as Kira, I love you, right. Which says a whole lot.
You don't even know. It kills me. Yeah, production has always been part of this of these stories.
Where is he?
I don't know. I don't want to look. I mean, where was he on January 6th?
No.
Could be.
No, maybe his compadre from the Nathan. Training. But not him.
You refuse to believe it?
Absolutely not. And okay. I have looked him up and I think he's
You think he's a good person? All right.
Yeah.
He's in advertising?
Shut up. No. Fuck up. No, the love that I have. I think he's like a normal person now, which is fine.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look him up.
So am I. I'm going to do it again. Say, David, you have a comment? I'll give you my cell phone.
I got future vibes from him. Like, if you rewatch any Real
what
World,
do you mean future vibes.
You know, like when you're young, everybody is the same. You know, it doesn't matter. And then when you get older and you rewatch these things,
and you're like, I see what this person would have like, turned into.
Yep.
No, David is a
so watch it again.
No, I can't. I don't want you to ruin this for me.
But yeah, production. Let production be part of the story. If she wants production to be part of the story, let it be part of the story.
The executive producer or whatever his title is, whomever showrunner is not going to appear in a chair at the reunion and be like, this is a lie. I think Andy's going to reference it or not, probably in conversation with that producer of like, do we want to give it more air?
Yeah,
as of right now, the only people
air.
Who know about it.
Because we all know it's ridiculous. Everybody watching the show knows it's ridiculous. So make Rena confront how ridiculous it is. Nobody believes her. Well, I don't. Do you?
No, but
okay. I don't think anybody believes her.
No, but there's something odd in talking about the conspiracy theories that I think in some ways supports her because it's giving it more air. I don't have an answer around it. I think it's insane that it happened, but I also think so is most of Rinna's behavior this season. But she has a way of putting an outlandish band-aid on everything by being like, oh, I'm crazy, or oh my God, I'm so out of it, or whatever the excuse or reason is, where she won't talk specifics. And I wonder how approaching her through the lens of specifics when it's applicable to the biggest conspiracy theories that she's espoused on social, even in the last week, what that does for her.
It makes her look stupid. That's what it does for her.
But isn't she going to look stupid anyway?
It make her look stupider then. Like, make her look dumber. Like, I don't see any drawbacks to this at all because it is a shot in the dark. It's a Hail Mary from this lady. Like, yeah, just make her face up to it.
Well, the reality is that she's probably going to bring up some of it herself because she has been very loud on social media for a while in saying that, you know, the reason people may not see things from whatever happens with Kathy is because it's attached to a major conspiracy with the show itself to support Kathy Hamilton. I guess she hasn't seen any other prior season of BH, which wouldn't necessarily support that idea, but it does lead a person down a weird path because she has tried to connect the dots for viewers and saying, if my experience of what I'm going to tell you happened doesn't line up with actual footage, know that it still happened. It's just that the show is working against me to protect someone else.
She's this meme, you know which one? She's that one with the strings, all of the like, that's what she's doing. And it's ridiculous. I was like, I feel like they should just maybe outright ask her in the producer's chair. It was like, so why do you want to do the show anymore? like ask that. Like, you got all these problems with how the show is put together. Why are you on it? Why do you want to do it? Like, say it. Say it with your full chest. Like, if the show is that terrible and you think that they're all against you and there's a whole conspiracy going on, why would you want to be associated with something like that? Ask her. Hey, when Andy puts on Twitter, what should I ask at the reunion? Did he already do that yet?
Probably.
Like, because those are great questions to ask, Andy. If you hate the show so much, why do you want to be on it?
What would you ask Kyle?
I don't know what to ask Kyle. Like, Kyle does not even I can't remember anything Kyle has done other than bring up conversations in awkward settings where people say, I don't want to talk about this right now. Like, that's just what she keeps doing all season, where it's like, oh, we'll talk about this later. And then Kyle just decides to talk about it right then. Like at the toothless homeless table where they're like, oh, we're not going to talk about this now. And then she just immediately starts talking about it. Like, that's all she's done all season.
And she got, I watched the last like 12 minutes of the BH episode again before we recorded. And the way she yelled when she was like, I'm just trying to ask essentially Sutton questions. And oh, she got upset. Yeah. When I watched it a second time, I was like, oh, this is clearly a reaction to Kathy. Because Kathy was one of the people being like, this doesn't matter. And it's Kyle saying, don't tell me how to do my job.
Right.
Like, this is the, like, you do like, that with everything else in my life, but this is my show. And you're not going to tell me that something that I am doing is too much, even though it is quite apparent to
that
everyone
it is too much.
That Kathy was right. Kathy was right.
Kathy was on her meds that time, and Kathy, she read the room correctly.
She was reading the room correctly, I think, a couple times during the app, which has to be awful for Kyle.
Yep, and awful for us when we see what else Kathy's going to do.
And what do we, and Kathy apparently, like, I don't know what she could do to Kyle that is so bad. Like, if you're saying Kyle's a piece of shit, so are hundreds of thousands of other people. I know that it's your sister, but, like, I thought us sisters were especially ruthless to each other. I don't have a sister. I have a fish son.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Are there any friendly sisters on reality TV who, like, love each other and don't fight?
I can't think of any sisters. Are there any other sister combos currently? Well, no, sisters-in-law, obviously, New Jersey.
Well, yeah, those don't count. So
we've got, like, weird fake cousins, adult cousins on Salt Lake. But and that might not work out for them this season.
Weird fake cousins.
Well, they're cocktail party cousins. Yeah. They found out one day that they were distantly related, and now they're introduced to everyone. They were introduced to us as cousins.
As cousins.
And but they're
so
not cousins.
So I'm like, oh, they grew up together? I was like, no, they
didn't.
No,
they're genetically related cousins, in quotes, but not cousins as in family. Cousins as in, what's the fast food where it's like everyone goes their family? Olive Garden cousins. They're family in the sense that every time they go to the Olive Garden, and they're treated like family. They treat each other, but they're very good or were, may their memory be a blessing, very good friends.
Yeah,
they're not cousins.
Yeah, I don't know any other, like, you know,
I mean, Teresa and Kathy didn't work out great. Anybody Teresa's been related to hasn't worked out super well.
Yeah, because it won't. It's,
yeah,
Teresa.
I mean, it's tough.
It's Teresa.
It's tough when you're coming for the check. And I don't mean that in support of Teresa as much as, like, any dynamic that's already potentially awkward or tense is going to be magnified when a person feels like their thing is being taken away from them because they're not going to share it.
Right.
Because sharing it doesn't typically work out in reality TV either.
I mean, it has worked out for Teresa for 10 years now.
Not sharing has.
No, sharing has, because Melissa is still on the show. They're sharing.
Not, I mean, not by choice.
Yeah, but still, it did not dim Teresa's shine by having Melissa on the show. It made her more compelling to watch.
It's going to be weird for Teresa to see her have to share it again with Louie now that they're married. Because we haven't seen her in that dynamic for a minute. And
Louie
seems to love
the camera.
Louie loves it. And he doesn't have a job because he got
fired. And he
fired.
Can disagree with her.
Sort of.
When he disagreed with her at the reunion, I was like, not a backbone. Not on this man. Ugh. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but
he's a little warrior, that one.
Sharing has worked out very well for Teresa. Like,
it really has not worked out well for the Richards.
No, it has not.
Which is going to be tough. I mean, like, I do think it's... I'm so curious. I'm so sort of jealous by your experience being able to compartmentalize BH, because I feel like I just don't have capacity for it. It just seeps into my marrow, and then
I'm looking forward to the new thing. Looking forward to Potomac. The trailer comes out, what, tomorrow?
The day that this episode goes up, we should be having a trailer, which I will unpack live on Patreon.
Oh my goodness, that cast photo.
Gorgeous.
So good.
Ladies in red.
So good. And then they just have Kern in the middle, flanked by her daughters, Candace and Ashley. It's so good.
Ashley leaving Michael
It's gonna. It's so good.
It's our reward for withstanding.
Ashley has Michael. Secured at like with those divorce papers. She secured 3 more seasons because we have to have like the divorce fallout season. Then we'll have the dating season, and then she'll have the season where she gets married, and it's the season finale. Like she, we have 3 more years of Ashley Darby on the screen at least.
She's not going anywhere.
No. Like, unless she marries somebody who doesn't want to be on TV, she will be there on Potomac. She is such a good housewife.
I feel like it's one of those things where you see with, especially with people with multiple marriages, and there's like the joke of like you marry first for X and like the second time for Y and then the third time for whatever.
Yeah, you marry the first time for money.
Yeah.
And the second time for, I guess maybe she'll do it for love.
Is the second for love? I feel like the second's almost for revenge. Maybe the third for love. I don't know. But like, I think with Ashley, because we've never seen her quite obviously date or flirt.
I want to see what her type is.
So do I, because I don't think it's Michael. Nope, I don't think it's ever been Michael.
I want to see who she's going to be flirting with, going after. Like, I feel like her and Giselle should go out on the town.
Oh my God. Have we seen Giselle flirt? We've seen Giselle tell us she's flirting, but we've never actually seen the flirt take place.
No, Giselle thinks she's too pretty to flirt. Giselle wants to be flirted with. Like, she's that type of person where she's not going to flirt because that shows interest and she expects all of,
God,
you know.
I love that.
Yeah. It's very that. It's a definite personality type, that pretty girl who never had to work.
Well,
sort
born
of
beautiful.
Yeah.
Born beautiful.
Yeah. It's one of those personality types. I was like, no, I never had to learn how to flirt.
Yeah.
She never had to learn how to flirt because the men were just falling at her feet. So.
Can I ask you a completely unrelated question, but I do want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Marlo's journey as a housewife, and oh, you gave me eyes.
I know, it's so disappointing.
And finale, the mom stuff.
I know. I mean, those are good things to see, but Marlo getting a peach is like one of the most disappointing housewives like fallouts because we were so happy for her. We had such high hopes.
We were all rooting for you.
And she's just not good TV at all. She's not good. She is mean and immature. And
it's tough to be both.
Yep. And it's like, oh, this is not fun to watch. Her family drama is compelling. But it's like it takes a backseat to how terrible she is. But when you see her interact with her mom, it's like, oh, you can't really help yourself. Like, that's just...
It was really, it honestly
it's
was
eye
so opening sad.
Into like who Marlo is as a person. It was like, oh, this is all, it everything makes sense. Like we had heard, you know, that she was given up or ran away, one or the other. Like we knew that the family dynamic was terrible, but seeing it in action is like, oh, okay, it all makes sense. I don't want to see you on screen, but this is an explanation for why you are that way. And like your abandonment issues and always looking for acceptance and acting out all the time. Because like that fight with Candy on the bus, where Candy's like, don't talk to me. And Marlo's very like 8-year-old, like Candy. That's very much like reaching out for acceptance from a woman that you admire kind of thing. It's like you do admire Candy as a businesswoman with a blended family with kids who love her. Like you admire these things about her and you are striving for her acceptance and she is not giving it to you. So you are like reaching out just like you would have been with like your mom. It's like Candy, pay attention to me, Candy. It's sad to watch.
And you think of the ways that she insulted Candy as a parent and Candy as a mom at those like low points, the dinner and elsewhere, the idea that she couldn't juggle, and to see where Marlo came from, that's tough.
Yep, because like Candy and also Marlo just wanted to hit where it hurts because, you know, Candy has said these things herself where she sometimes feels a little guilty for taking all the jobs and stuff because she's, you know, every working mom feels that way even when they shouldn't have to. But like, you know, it's just kind of the culture. The working mom feels bad for being away from the kids kind of thing. So Marlo just wanted to hit her where it hurts. And then also she comes from this reality where her mother was never around. And so she's saying it from a place of hurt and also from a place of wanting to hurt. Like, she wants to hurt Candy, and she also has unresolved issues about it herself.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Yep, hurt people, hurt people. And she has no interest in healing.
I mean, the fact that her mom, she said her mom went door to door to tell her neighbors that she essentially didn't like her daughter.
Yep.
That's tough.
Yep, that's tough. But she needs some therapy, and she needs it away from the cameras, or she needs to do it on camera. I mean, there are plenty of therapists in Atlanta who have been on camera many times. So, I mean, I don't know how good they are. I feel like if at this point, if you're going to Dr. Sherry, like your marriage is already over.
Like, wait, who's Dr. Sherry?
Dr. Sherry is, so they have two black therapists in Atlanta that show up on every Atlanta show. Dr. Ken and Dr. Sherry.
Dr. Ken's been on Andy's Girls before. He's been to the
sorry, Dr. Ken, if you listen to the show, but whenever I see Dr. Ken or Dr. Sherry like, show there's... up, I'm like, oh, some bad advice is about to be had. Like that advice that Dr. Ken gave.
Nene?
No, it was this season. Dr. Ken.
There are two Dr. Kens, I think.
Dr. Ken with the glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only one.
Okay. I feel like there's another Dr. Ken.
Who was, he gave advice to, was it Drew? Yes, with Drew and Ralph.
I forget. I think this, I might be thinking of a different Dr. Ken.
So Drew and Ralph went to therapy with Dr. Ken.
That was a different therapist, I swear to God.
Pull up his picture. I bet it's the same one. I doubt there are two black Dr. Kens that show up on reality television in Atlanta.
I swear to God, it's a different person. Well, I'm maybe not I got joking. His name wrong. I think you got his name wrong. Okay. I really do think you do.
Why am I calling him Dr. Ken if it's not his name?
I couldn't tell you, but I'm here for it. But it absolutely was a different person. Because when I see Dr. Ken, the Dr. Ken who has literally been in my apartment recording AG on the people's couch.
Does he live here?
Yeah, he lives, he at that point, I think he did, yeah.
So he doesn't live in Atlanta?
Dr. Ken? I don't think so. Maybe he moved? I can't find it readily available.
I'm going to find him right now.
How fun for all the listeners at home.
Dr. Ken. There we go. Dr. Ken Counseling. I got a little web page. Okay, Instagram is coming up. Let's see if it's him. Yeah, this is Dr. Ken.
Let me see.
This is the Dr. Ken I'm talking about. That's Dr. Ken.
That's a different Dr. Ken than
so
the Dr. Ken.
So you have another Dr. Ken.
I have another Dr. Ken.
There are
Ken.
Two Dr. Kens.
Swear to God. Swear to God. Not joking.
Oh, see, look. He has a picture of Drew and Ralph, too.
Yeah, that's a different Dr. Ken, I think. I think so.
Oh, here's a good one. Look. There's his face with the little glasses.
Absolutely different Dr. Ken.
Wow. I really need to see your Dr. Ken. Maybe yep. You got the name wrong.
Maybe I did. I absolutely could have.
Some random man was in your house and you didn't know his name?
Shut the fuck up. How completely appropriate considering my other interactions. Wait, but what were you saying?
Oh, because like they had gone to therapy and then they were talking about how, you know, they had to be nice to each other for like 30 days or something. And then if, you know, if you broke the 30 days or something, you know, you had to pay a punishment and that kind of thing. And it's like this advice that Dr. Ken was giving, it's like Drew is not being mean to Ralph.
Yeah, she's saying her feelings.
Right. This is stupid.
She's not allowed to have them.
Right. I'm like, this is terrible advice from a terrible therapist because, like, Drew is not being mean to him at all. Ralph is gaslighting her and treating her like crap, and she is explaining how she feels. Like, that is not being mean. And the way he gave them the advice was like, oh, you're being mean to each other, so you have to be nice to each other for 30 days. And I'm just like, that is a terrible therapist, and so this marriage is on the rocks.
I don't have an issue with couples therapy in general, but I think it must always, as a non-therapist, I would highly encourage that anybody seeking couples therapy is also an individual therapy.
Oh, yeah.
It shouldn't be the grounding force. It should be the supplement to something else going on. And I think everyone should be in therapy.
Yep, you should be on therapy to work on yourself. And couples therapy is so you can relate to each other.
Right.
But like,
they're
couples
skipping that seemingly.
Yeah, couples therapy should not be the place where you are learning how to work on yourself. Because if you're just giving people tools to talk to each other, but the underlying issues aren't being addressed, then the tools won't matter. Like, you're just giving these two people an avenue to communicate their terrible traits better. So.
Also, I cannot believe that we've gone over an hour and have not once brought up She by Sheree.
Oh, congratulations. You mean She by Shine?
Yeah, there is some There are some posts. Friend of the pod, Face Reality 16, does have some posts on her social showing some very interesting similarities between some of the athleisure wear that Sheree has on her website, regardless of whether or not you can actually access it.
I mean, hey, if you can't get the samples, buy them from Shine. It's like my samples aren't going to come in. What can we order overnight from Shine real quick and put my label on it?
At $130.
Yeah, and mark it up. I mean, that I guess that label costs a lot of money.
It made me a little sad because...
We're rooting for her.
We are rooting for you, but also, like, to see what Brooks marks, I hate to make the comparison, but to see the way that he, like, designed, like, he really did design, you're giving me a face.
Yeah, because what, I mean, it's just some Hanes sweatpants with a stripe on it.
But it felt like a, like, I'm like, what is the design? Look, he at least had something that felt like it was his thing.
Yeah,
was,
he, like, he put his name on some Hanes.
But I thought,
like, that's not like it's not Project Runway season one. It's not.
Like, no, it's not like made of lettuce or whatever. Yeah. And you have 4 seconds to put it together. It was
corn husks. Thank you, Austin Scarlett, for that fabulous corn husk dress on the first Gorgeous. Innovation challenge. If you're listening, Austin Scarlett, you're a wonderful person.
We appreciate you. But I feel like Brooks at least. Understanding your perspective, I feel like he at least there's something was constructed where it didn't feel like this is what we've been waiting. And I'm not adding the 14 years into it. I'm just saying that, like,
why it Brooks was a little, Mark is because, why is he your
because
benchmark
he's the
for
only
it?
Person that I can think of who designed athleisure wear.
But it wasn't. But
it
there
was one item. It wasn't yeah. 22 or 24, 15
he,
or 5.
He didn't do anything to it other than put a stripe on a black
like it
sweatshirt.
It just felt like it was unique versus what Sheree did or didn't do. Where I
liked like, some of Sheree's designs that came down the runway. I
did
don't know.
You?
Yeah,
but none of them are for sale right now.
Well, I thought the site was just crashed from too much volume. That's what I thought.
No, I think she said that it was going to... No, she had like a couple initial pieces with more to be added. And the initial pieces, I think, were the
Shine.
The Shine.
That's the only thing that was for sale, the Shine?
I think like maybe a couple versions of that, which doesn't feel entirely dissimilar from what she tried to put online, I think sort of during COVID or
so
maybe before
was the,
when she had like yoga mats and
what
stuff.
What was the fulfillment center she was in? Was that just like an Amazon warehouse of random things?
I don't know what that was.
I
want
to know what
I want
that
to
was.
Own. I want to own joggers, but not for $130.
Well, no, well, those aren't even joggers. That was like fully like just skin tight. Like there was nothing jogging about that. But I feel like some of them were cute. Some of the men's pieces were cute. I just didn't realize they weren't for sale. That's sad.
But I think that they will be. I just want her to succeed. Everybody, if you looked at every single face in that cast and all of us, Andy posting, like,
yep.
We all just
there
want
no
her to
shade.
Succeed.
Everybody
she
wants
has,
her to succeed.
She has one of the top, like, from a name recognition
she
perspective.
She has the top brand.
Right, she by Sheree. And she has not made a dollar from, she's made a lot of money from being on Housewives, but, like, she should be rolling
in
cash right now.
Yep.
But she just doesn't seem to partner with people
because she can't run a business. She can't run a business.
I don't think she's interested in it.
No, I don't know how. I don't know.
She's operating by Sonia, but Sonia never had this kind of opportunity.
Has
Sheree
ever had a job? Like, what's her job
background? She posted on social. She used to own a fashion boutique. She's done other things. I can't remember, but I did scam that post. Like, she owned it. I'm just going to say that again a second time, which will make
but
it sound
like
another example. She did own a boutique.
Everybody in Atlanta has a store. It doesn't mean they're doing anything in it. That just means you paid for it, and now
well,
it gets
I
run.
Mean, but
so
also,
my thing is, like, what is Sheree's background in running a business?
To me, it's like she might not have a background in running a business, although she has been a very successful reality TV star, which is a business in and of itself. But who is she surrounding herself with? Do they have any
well, yeah,
background
that's part,
in running?
Part of running a business
like Sonia,
is picking people
Sonia's
who can run your business.
Who
right.
She pretends are like full-time salaried employees, and she's just got a lot of consultants who don't have any answers. That's concerning
Some people
to
are
me.
Good at building a team, and some people are not. Candy
yeah.
is very good at building
very
a team.
Very good.
And that's why everything that she touches
yeah.
is successful because yeah. she has a team that can execute. And some people don't know how to hire people. Like they don't know I don't think they know what they're looking for in like the interview process and like all that kind of stuff.
Or also want to pay for someone who can execute. Or
want to pay for it, right? That too. So like Candy gave her great business advice when they were sitting there talking about it. And I'm not sure that Sheree was taking it. I was like, if Candy was telling me how to run a business and how to start running a business and like starting it small and then taking that money to expand and like take on more people and all that kind of stuff, I would follow Candy's roadmap for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not launch a fashion show for the season finale of my television show and not have the stuff available for sale.
And you know,
that's wild.
They had a countdown. That right. was so tough. Because I watched the episode today and to know what happened and to see the countdown, that was tough.
Like, even like all of that is terrible planning.
And she had so much time, which doesn't mean 14 years, but it does mean like in the time between the ep being filmed and now we knew that this was happening.
Yes.
So what happened?
What was she doing in the meantime? All she was able to do was get Shine. Because the Shine clothes were not on the runway. That's a new addition. That Shine outfit was not on the runway.
Oh, right.
Right.
What happened? See, that's the thing, is like it felt like it was in between merch. It didn't feel like design product. It to me gave off a vibe of merch, which again, I'm happy to do. Just I can't afford $130 for it. Not, and even if I knew it was purchased for $7, I don't know what to tell you.
Poor She by Sheree.
I mean, poor She by Sheree, but not.
Congratulations, Kenya Moore Hair Care CVS, though.
5,000 stores.
Good for her.
Phenomenal.
I know. I was just having like an argument with somebody the other day when they were talking about how Kenya only has like, you know, housewives going for her and like she's not doing anything else. And I was like, what do you mean? She has Kenya Moore Hair Care. He was like, yeah, what does that do? And I was like, it's always in Sally's. And who else has their stuff in? Candy said it best when she was giving her props. She was like, none of my products ever been in CVS. Good job. Like, Candy is very excited when everybody's winning around her because she doesn't see anybody else's success as a threat to her own.
Which is a rare commodity, especially in Housewives. Yep. And also, P.S., the insult of like what she got going for her, she's only one of the most successful Housewives, popular, influential. She's in my top five.
This is my favorite Kenya season.
She's having a great, she's just like drinking. She's so light and airy
because Portia's not there.
I know, and Portia might be coming back next season.
And I do not want her to come back.
Do you not?
I don't. Portia soured me during her show. I watched that show, gave me a whole different view of who Portia is as a person. Things that I already knew, but you know.
Now you had proof.
Yeah. Well, no. It's like, I feel like Portia was so popular that they may have edited around some of her behavior until she left and got her own spinoff.
And they couldn't do that anymore.
Right, because it was just all Portia all the time. And I was like, no, I don't like Portia as a person.
Can I ask, do you have a current top five?
Like that are on TV right now?
On or off, doesn't matter.
Candy is my number one housewife.
And it can
housewife.
Just be like who you love, whatever top five means to you. It can mean whatever you want.
Candy is my top housewife of all time across all metrics because I think she's fun to watch. And I will also hang out with her as a person. And love I think that. She's a good person and love everything about Candy. You know what I love about Candy the most?
What?
That people discount is that Candy is, you know, in her mid-40s, a Southern Black Christian woman who opened the door for same-sex conversations, like for relationships and hookups. Before Candy, we were not talking about 40-year-old Christian Black women hooking up with other women. And like on TV, like what reality show were Black women in the South going on television talking about their hooking up with other women? Like that was wow. And it was just so casual. So love that about Candy. Because now I feel like the door is just wide open. Like everybody on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta is like bisexual. Because like I feel like Candy just bust that door open love for that. All of us. So yeah, she's my number one.
Okay.
Bethany.
Okay.
Because she's the most fun to watch housewife of all time.
very controversial choice here, Candace.
And, you know, this is a safe space. I want to like Candace again. I just don't ever want to interact with her ever personally again, which I'm sure she would be more than fine with. She's like, who the fuck are you? But, like, I just want to enjoy her again. I hope she has a great season. I hope she does. I mean that sincerely.
I love Candace so much. She's a great housewife. Her album, I still listen to it.
She's a great album.
It's so good. I'm so glad that she gets to be in the little, you know, Grammy pool or whatever, you know, where you get to be a voting member and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, the Academy or whatever. Yeah. Okay, I'm into like, it.
Good for her.
Cool. That's so, three.
Love her. Four and five.
Doesn't have to be five.
Who else do I really love?
Anybody on Beverly Hills? Salt Lake? Definitely not. Chanel Ayan, maybe?
I mean, I feel
honorable mention.
She's my favorite first season housewife of all time.
Okay.
Of all time. My favorite first season housewife. So Miami. I hope that her second season will be great. No, nobody from Miami. Nobody from Miami. York. Nobody from Salt Lake.
DC, LOL.
DC, LOL.
Dallas, JK. Orange County.
You know, I loved Stephanie on Dallas. Mm. She was in my top five. Like, maybe Stephanie's still in there because I loved how she was very vulnerable about her mental health, but she was also very fun to watch, and she was always stunning.
Mm-hmm. She's so rich.
Yep. I love Rich.
I love Rich so much.
Rich is great.
It is.
Yeah, maybe, that's enough.
I love that. I think that's a really interesting
Candy, medley. Bethany, Candace,
Stephanie.
And Chanel Ayan. That's the best top five anybody's ever going to put together.
I love that you have Candace and Stephanie Holman in your same top five. I love that for you. Because I love that journey for you. No, it's so fun.
So yeah, that's a good top five.
That's a very good top five.
I would watch them on Girls Trip.
That would be a Girls Trip to remember.
Candy said she would never do it though.
She just did it.
Candy? No.
Candace.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I think you said Candace. I was again?
Candace just did it. But Candy said she would never do it because everybody, like, she was like, the only people that I would go on it with have already done it. So,
that's a good point.
She was like, no, I wouldn't do it.
Also, do you want to be on season four? Your Candy? It's like season one or season. Nothing. Right. No, thank you.
It's just going to get worse from here.
Candy would be like, how about instead of me going on Girls Trip, you just give me another spinoff where I go on a trip.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Where
like, she'd be
I
like, how about six episodes of me going on a trip with my family?
Yep. Again. Candy's ski trip wasn't enough. Let's do
my God.
Candy's yacht trip. Candy's.
For real. We're going to see that in about a month and a half, and I'm here for it.
That's fine. I'll watch any spinoff with Candy. Candy and the Gang is my favorite spinoff so far of Housewives.
I haven't seen any of it.
It's my favorite spinoff of all of them because it's so funny.
Is it?
It is hilarious. It is like Vanderpump Rules, but all the people are funny.
Which we've never had on Vanderpump Rules.
Everybody is funny. And another thing I loved about it was going back to the queer thing. So you have all of these people, young, beautiful people working in a restaurant because you want to cast them for TV. Mm. And you have very flamboyant gay men and very heteronormative straight men working in the same restaurant and like being friends with each other. So for me growing up as like, you know, a little black kid in the South being bullied by men, there was no avenue when I was younger where you would see gay black men and straight black men talking to each other in any way other than, you know, bullying. So no, you have like these, I feel like it's so good for little queer kids in the South to see gay black men and straight black men just hanging out, just going to dinner, just going out for drinks or come plan my party, come over to my house and like just having regular conversations and being friends and joking with each other. It was so refreshing to see. I can't remember seeing it on any other reality show.
Well, geez, you just sold that for me. I'm going to need to watch that ASAP. My God.
But then they're just funny. Like, they're all funny. They're all characters. There's this one guy who is one of the most beautiful men that I've ever seen on reality TV.
What's his name?
Then his boyfriend is hotter. Philip.
Philip is hot? His name is Philip?
And then his boyfriend is hotter.
And what's his name?
I don't remember because he was Edward? Just on one episode.
Oh my God.
But oh my God, he's just this hot man with beautiful teeth and muscles. He comes in to like manage the restaurant.
You don't hear about hot Phillips that often. Normalize a hot Phillip.
So hot. He's so hot and he knows it.
Is his name Phillip or do people call him Phil or is it literally Phillip?
No, it's Phillip.
Double L? I'm entranced.
Probably because double P is usually European. So it's probably double L.
Wow. I
so yeah, you should watch it. He's beautiful. Loved it. It was a great show.
You know what else I loved?
Oh, and the Old Lady Gang was fun too.
Also missed that.
No, because they're there. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think yeah, I meant yeah, there was another spin-off.
Like the three of them, they do their confessionals together. None of them want to be there, which is great. Like none of them want to be there. They're always ready to go. They're like, we done.
God, like, I love them so much. I miss seeing them more on Atlanta.
Yeah, so watch Candy and the Gang. By the next time you invite me, you have to have watched the entire season.
How many episodes?
Like 8 or 10.
See, because it's Candy, so they're not going to be like, we're going to give you 4. She's like, fuck you, 10 or nothing.
Yeah, so it was good. And the theme song is popping.
I will literally watch that tomorrow.
Yeah.
If I have access to it, if not, all bets are off.
It should be on Peacock, right?
I feel like sometimes Peacock doesn't have everything, but maybe it does. I don't know. I have every single streaming site. I'm also recapping... I'm going to fuck up the name Drive to Succeed, Driving to Success, whatever the Netflix Formula One racing show is, which if you tell me a sport, I wouldn't think of cars, not once, not ever. I would even argue about what that means to call that a sport. I'm obsessed with it from the second I knew I was going to like it. And I was, so that's why I was like very against beginning it.
Is it a reality TV show?
Yeah, but it's beautifully done. It is Housewives level drama. They're all fighting with each other. There's like
Formula One drivers.
Yeah. And they're all so, and I'm at an interesting part with Lewis Hamilton where it's like, he's an angel. He's still an angel, but he's nudging other cars.
Wow, you're invested.
I'm extremely invested. 24/7. I've gone through, we're not going to talk about how many seasons I've been through in the last 36 hours.
Oh, there's multiple seasons?
Yeah.
Is it a Netflix show or did Netflix buy it?
It's a Netflix show. So the drivers are talking shit about Netflix, which they include in episodes.
So it must be really pretty.
Super pretty. Okay. And like the quality, like the beauty of the color increases season to season. Like so through season 3, but like season 4 is like absolutely stunning, like shitting cash. But the best part, I just watched a scene with Lewis Hamilton, and I'm so sorry for the other driver's name, which I forget, which is a part of the conflict. Like everyone forgets the other driver for Mercedes. But like the PR comms guy is in a meeting, like talking to them. And he's like, so as you can tell, Netflix is here, but so they'll have broad access. But just like be careful what you discuss with them as the cameras are shooting it. Anyway, that's the new love of my life. But you know what?
Netflix is great.
But so are you. And so is this episode. Hey. When you come on AG, I refuse to Zoom with you because I like need to vibe with your energy IRL. And when you just come and are a part of these episodes, I just feel... it's just magical. I'm so appreciative for you coming back. And you're coming back to talk about Potomac in literally an hour and a half. I hope you brought a blanket and a pillow because it's going to premiere any minute. And you better believe I'm going to like reserve your time to maybe recap the first episode. I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. But
well, if you have watched Candy and the Gang,
I'll watch it. You think that time is anything to me? I have nothing but TV time.
You should do
no time to save money or do anything financially responsible, but nothing but time to watch
have
TV
you ever
shows.
Done like a three person
over Zoom, not in person.
Why don't you
invite Candy or a member of the gang?
No, I feel like a Potomac premiere is a reason to have three in the clawfus.
Yeah, we could maybe work something out.
Yeah. Think about it.
Think about who you want as a guest.
I don't.
Candace.
I would not do that to you. Would not do that to you.
Listen, you know what? I think this is a season of healing. And I genuinely mean this. Truly. I want her to succeed. She's going to succeed regardless of what I want. And
she's going to have a great season.
She's going to have a great season.
She
deserves it.
She's in the middle with Karen.
What do you mean in the middle?
It's Karen, it's Candace, Karen, and Ashley holding the middle of that cast
photo.
Oh,
you mean literally in the middle? I was like, okay, because I don't know how much I can take of the Karen versus Candace stuff because I think it's all very maternal
and
there's stuff
going on. And I heard that Candace and Ashley are teaming up together this season.
Which I would love to see.
So those two with Karen, Like, let's
they
do
could
it.
Take down the entirety of the world. That's yep. why let's you're going to leave the country. Because once they're done with Potomac, there's going to be nothing
there's
left.
There's nothing left to do. I will. Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, I'm into it. Okay, reserve your spot.
Okay.
Done. Tell the people where they can follow you on social. Here's so much more.
You can follow me on Instagram, Rafi D'Angelo. You can follow me on Twitter, Rafi D'Angelo. Do I tweet any fun housewives things? I don't really tweet fun housewives things.
Just say that you do.
I tweet lots of fun housewives things. Mostly I've just been tweeting about Beyonce and and, you know, random stuff like selling the LC. I just finished that. So.
What a journey that was, by the way.
What a journey that was. Can't wait for season two.
Justice for Jarvis and Rose.
Rose and Gio. Like,
Gio, I was really into.
I mean,
Gio being like, I'm a husband. I have boundaries. I support my wife.
That was sexy. Like, good job.
Also, you shouldn't be licking the nose
of anybody,
let alone a married colleague. Ugh. Them just being like, we're just friendly. If I was that wife, who I know is like a well-known
Brittany Snow,
wouldn't you have a conversation with him that involves like, don't ever do that ever again?
I mean, he's obviously not into her. You saw when he was ranking the loves of his life and put surfing above her. He was like, surfing, my dog and my wife, and then real estate. I was like, girl, you need to marry somebody who likes you more than driftwood in the ocean.
Yeah.
That is sad.
Some rocky waves coming.
Anyway, we cannot be promoting selling the OC to these people because that is trash television.
Oh, and we God, no. We do prestige. Okay, anything else that we can promote? Anything else that we can get into?
Nope,
we can talk about?
Not right now. Next time I come, maybe I'll be writing something fun about pop culture. I am working on a book, so maybe that'll come out at some point.
Oh, my God.
A little office romance comedy.
Ooh, I'm here for that.
Something light and fun.
I need more of it. We've discussed.
Relationships in the workplace. Not inspired by selling the OC, I promise.
Okay. Someone's going to be like snogging someone else's nose in chapter two.
No,
I'm going to know where that inspiration came from.
Disgusting. Anyway.
Agreed. Like, agreed. guys, you know what's not gross? Joining the Andy's Girls Patreon, where you get exclusive bonus episodes. Two eps went up last week with 2 hours of exclusive bonus content. The best and number one way to support the pod, patreon.com/AndysGirls. As mentioned before, I'll do a live reaction to the Potomac trailer when it goes up. When you go to the Patreon, you can also see a live reaction trailer to the Salt Lake City trailer, which I absolutely did watch twice for that Patreon, because I was like, can we go back to Heather's eye? Because I need to focus on that.
What happened?
I assume that it was an accident or
I feel like it's an accident.
It's
they're
like
trying
a,
to make it a thing thing.
I mean, I was just not ready for the. You hear, I got an AG who tagged me in a post when she reacted to my reaction of Heather's eye, because I wasn't prepared for it. Nobody told me that the eye was coming, and I was.
It's why I feel like the season has nothing if they're trying to make this very non-event of her eye into an event. Like, they're trying to like make it seem like, oh, she got into a fight, and they're like, no, she didn't, she like walked into a door.
I don't think anyone
something.
Actually thinks she got into a fight. I just think it's a funny thing of like, all of a sudden there's her eye.
There are some stupid people who thought she got into a fight.
Oh no, that never happened. Well, guys, you're all smart to me, but like, I don't think that actually happened, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens as the season premieres. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. I'm live recapping that Netflix show that I'm obsessed with and can't correctly name, and so much more. Dame Galley. Rafi D'Angelo, thanks for coming to the Clopus. This was a 9-hour episode, and I'm so appreciative.
Yay, time to go eat.
Yeah. My God, this episode was a meal. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that much. Guys, I hope you're all doing okay, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.